All right, let's dive into some hidden knowledge today. We're going to be looking at Western esotericism, but with a little twist.
Oh.
You remember that personality quiz from the Spiritual Seek? The one that's supposed to, like, reveal your inner mystic?
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
We're going to crack it open today, see what kind of insights we can find.
Sounds fun. I always think it's so fascinating how those quizzes try to, you know, capture these really complex traditions in such a simple way.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll find some interesting things as we go through it.
Oh, absolutely. So the first question here, it just throws us right into it, right into Hermeticism.
Okay.
It asks, what is the primary focus of Hermeticism in Western esoteric traditions? And it gives us some options.
Okay.
Like ritual magic, astrology, divination, or dot gnosis.
Okay.
I have to admit, that word gnosis always gets me. What exactly are we talking about there?
Well, think of gnosis as like more than just knowledge from a book, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a direct experience, a knowing. It's this really profound understanding that goes beyond the everyday, like the surface level of things. It's like a flash of insight, you know, that suddenly illuminates all these hidden connections within the universe.
Wow.
And within ourselves.
Okay, so it's not just about like reading and memorizing facts, but about actually experiencing a change.
Yeah.
Like in our consciousness.
Exactly. And that's why gnosis is considered like the core of Hermeticism.
Right.
It's all about seeking that direct connection with the divine, you know?
Yeah.
It's that knowledge that awakens the soul.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so for those playing along at home, the answer to question one is gnosis.
Yes.
The pursuit of that spiritual knowledge and enlightenment.
You know, it's interesting to think about how this idea of gnosis plays out in our lives today. You know, like it's that aha moment when you finally figure something out.
Oh, yeah.
When we suddenly see the world in a totally new way.
That's a great point. It's like when we suddenly understand something, you know, on a much deeper level. Whether it's about a relationship or a breakthrough in our work or even like a new discovery in science.
Exactly. Those moments of like sudden understanding where we go beyond just the surface and we tap into something deeper. That's gnosis at work.
I like that. Okay, let's move on to question number two.
Okay.
This one goes into the realm of theurgy.
Mm.
The question asks, in Western esoteric traditions, what does the term theurgy refer to?
Okay.
And we've got options like manipulating natural forces or communing with spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that stands out is rituals intended to invoke divine presence or power.
Right.
So what makes that one stand out? What's the difference?
Well, you see, theurgy isn't about controlling the natural world, like forcing it to do our bidding.
Okay.
It's about aligning ourselves with the divine energy.
Okay.
Inviting the sacred into our lives through these specific rituals and practices.
So it's more about recognizing a power that's bigger than us.
Yes.
And trying to connect with it spiritually.
Yes, exactly. You know, this idea of invoking divine power, it's actually pretty common in a lot of spiritual traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we pray or meditate, we're creating a space to connect with something bigger.
Yeah, I see that. It's like we're inviting the divine into a special space we've created.
Precisely. And theurgy, it takes that idea even further.
Okay.
It uses very specific rituals and words to create a strong connection with divine energy.
Interesting. Okay, so we've talked about gnosis, you know, that pursuit of transformative knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about theurgy, this practice of inviting the divine power into our lives.
Yeah.
Now, question number three takes us into a world that I think a lot of people misunderstand. Alchemy.
Okay.
The question is, what role does the philosopher's stone play in alchemical traditions?
Mm.
Most people probably just think about turning lead into gold when they hear that.
Yeah, that's the common image.
But there's a lot more to it than that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, turning lead into gold sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like something out of a movie. But the philosopher's stone is really about something way more profound.
Yeah.
It's about inner transformation.
Mm.
About achieving spiritual enlightenment.
Okay.
Alchemists, they saw this process of refining metals, like lead, as a way to understand refining the human soul.
So it's not really about getting rich, but about transforming ourselves.
Exactly.
Taking our imperfections and making them into something better.
Right. It's about seeing the potential for enlightenment within each of us and then working towards that potential through spiritual practice and looking inward.
Yeah.
The Philosopher's Stone, it's like a symbol of that inner alchemy, you know, achieving it.
It makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
It's not about money. It's about spiritual wealth.
Right.
It's about finding the real gold that's already inside us.
And, you know, that journey of transformation is something that still fascinates us today.
Yeah, I think so too.
We see it everywhere, from books on how to improve yourself to different spiritual practices.
Right.
Even just the search for meaning in our lives.
It's a journey we're all on.
In a way, yeah.
Well, speaking of journeys, our next question takes us into the world of secret societies and hidden knowledge.
Ooh, intrigue.
Question number 4 asks, which figure is often credited with reviving interest in Rosicrucianism during the early modern period?
Okay.
Now the quiz gives us 3 options.
All right.
Johann Valentin Andrea, Francis Bacon, or Aleister Crowley. I think this one could be a little tough if you're not already familiar with Rosicrucianism.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do some research.
So what's the answer?
Well, if we look back at the history of Rosicrucianism, the name that keeps coming up is Johann Valentin André.
Okay.
He's the one who most people believe wrote the key texts that really made people interested in this mystical brotherhood again.
When was that?
Back in the 17th century.
Okay. So what was it about Rosicrucianism that grab people's attention back then?
It was this mix of secret knowledge, spiritual transformation, and just a bit of mystery, you know?
Yeah, sounds kind of cool.
They said they had ancient wisdom that had been passed down for generations.
Oh.
Wisdom that could unlock the secrets of the universe and help people grow.
I feel like people have always been drawn to the unknown, to secret societies.
Right. Like, there's just something about these hidden truths that keeps us fascinated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'd love to think that there might be more to reality than what we see every day.
Exactly. And that sense of wonder, that's what keeps us exploring and asking questions, always searching for deeper truths.
Makes sense.
And Rosicrucianism, you know, with all its mysticism and secrets, it really gave people a place to explore those things. Like they were saying, hey, there's this hidden world out there and we've got the keys.
Okay, ready for question number 5. This one uses a phrase that's pretty poetic.
Okay.
But also really deep.
Right.
As above, so below.
Yeah.
The question is, what concept does as above, so below encapsulate within Hermetic philosophy?
Interesting.
I always think about like mandalas when I hear that. Or those fractals where the patterns repeat at different sizes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see that.
Like, is that what this is getting at?
You're on the right track. As above, so below, it's all about how everything in the universe is connected.
Okay.
It's saying that the same patterns and principles that govern the cosmos, the big stuff,
yeah,
they also work in our own individual lives. It's like a mirror, you know?
Okay.
Reflecting the big picture in each of us.
So it was not just a nice saying, but a real principle that connects us to the whole universe.
Exactly. It means that what happens up there in the stars affects us down here. And what we do down here can also affect the universe.
Wow.
It's a reminder that we're not separate, but part of this huge interconnected web.
That's a pretty powerful thought.
Yeah.
It makes you think that even the smallest things we do can have a big impact.
Right. Like the butterfly effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question for this esoteric adventure.
All right. Bring it on.
This one is about something that I think a lot of people get wrong. Tarot. The question is, in Western esotericism, what purpose does tarot primarily serve? You know, most people, when they think about tarot, they think fortune telling.
Yeah, like predicting the future.
But that's not really what it's about in esoteric traditions, is it?
No, it's not about knowing exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
In esoteric circles, tarot is a way to understand our subconscious minds. Think of the cards like a language.
Okay.
A symbolic language that speaks to our intuition. It helps us explore those parts of ourselves that we might not even be aware of.
So it's more like a tool for understanding ourselves.
Exactly. It's like holding up a mirror to your subconscious.
Okay.
It shows us patterns, beliefs, and paths we might not see otherwise.
I like that. Instead of telling us our future, it helps us understand who we are right now.
Precisely. And that's why it's so valuable in esotericism. It gives us a way to explore our inner world and connect with our intuition.
Makes sense. Well, we've gone through all 6 questions.
We did it.
Before we go over the answers, let's do a quick recap.
Okay.
We started with Gnosis, that direct experience of divine knowledge at the heart of Hermeticism.
Right.
Then we talked about Theurgy, where we invite divine presence into our lives through rituals.
Yes.
We learned about the philosopher's stone and alchemy and how it's not about real gold, but about transforming ourselves.
Mm.
We uncovered a little bit of the history of Rosicrucianism with its secret knowledge and spiritual growth.
Fascinating stuff.
And then we thought about as above, so below, and how everything in the universe is connected.
Yeah, it's all connected.
And finally, we talked about tarot as a way to look inward and understand our subconscious mind.
Phew, that was quite a journey. It's amazing how these ideas, even though they're old, they still matter today.
Yeah, I agree. They offer a new way of seeing the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
different way of understanding who we are and where we fit in.
And they remind us that there's always more to discover, more to learn.
Absolutely. All right, are you ready for the answers?
Hit me with them.
Okay, remember, we're looking for those A answers.
Okay. A.
How many did you get?
Don't worry. It's not about being right or wrong.
Yeah, it's about getting curious and wanting to learn more.
Exactly. Think of this quiz as a fun way to start exploring these traditions.
The real journey begins when you start asking your own questions and finding your own answers.
You know, the spiritual Sikh, they have this fun way of looking at the results.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't get any A answers, maybe esotericism is just a new path for you, something you're starting to look at.
Right.
One or two A's, you're a budding esotericist just starting to grow.
Makes sense.
Three or four A's, you're a seasoned seeker well on your way.
All right. All right.
And if you got five or six A's, well, you're a wise mystic in the making.
I love it. Okay, let's go through each question and its A answer just to be sure.
Good idea.
The first one was about the main focus of hermeticism.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is the pursuit of gnosis, that direct experiential knowledge that goes beyond the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
It's about seeking a deep understanding of the divine and how we're connected to it.
And that idea of seeking gnosis, it's something you find in a lot of esoteric traditions.
Yeah, I see that.
It's like peeling back the layers of reality to see the truth underneath.
Okay, question number two is about the meaning of theurgy.
Right.
And the right answer is rituals meant to invoke divine presence or power.
Yeah, inviting the divine in.
It's not about controlling supernatural forces, but creating a sacred space and inviting them in.
Theurgy recognizes how powerful ritual and intention can be, you know?
Yeah.
It's like building a bridge between us and the divine.
Okay, question number three was all about alchemy and the philosopher's stone.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that it represents that inner transformation that leads to enlightenment.
Yeah, the real gold is inside.
Not literally turning lead into gold, but about refining ourselves and achieving spiritual wholeness.
The philosopher's stone, it's a great metaphor for that journey of growth.
Absolutely.
It's like a reminder that the process of self-discovery never really ends.
Okay, question number four took us to secret societies, asking about who revived interest in Rosicrucianism.
Back in the day?
And the answer is Johann Valentin André, whose writings really got people interested in this mystical brotherhood again.
He tapped into that desire for secret knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
That idea that there's hidden wisdom out there that can change us.
The fifth question was about as above, so below.
Ah, the interconnectedness.
And the correct answer highlights how everything is connected.
Yeah, stars and us.
It's a reminder that we're part of something much bigger.
Part of this cosmic tapestry.
And the last question was about the purpose of tarot in Western esotericism.
Okay.
The answer is that it's used for gaining insights into our own subconscious minds.
Right, not fortune telling.
It's about looking inside ourselves, not predicting the future.
Tarot, it's like a key to unlock those hidden parts of ourselves.
I like that. So there you have it, the answers to the Spiritual Sikh's esoteric quiz.
Hopefully this got you thinking about some of these concepts.
Yeah, it's just a taste of Western esotericism.
It's a starting point, a little spark.
But hopefully it's encouraged you to explore more. You know, there's so much more to these traditions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like a whole world of symbols and rituals.
And philosophies.
Right. And it can all help us understand ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And the world.
Exactly.
Whether you're into gnosis or theurgy or even like the philosopher's stone.
There's something here for everyone.
Especially if you've ever wondered about the bigger mysteries, you know?
Totally. It's all about finding those ideas that really speak to you.
Yeah.
Using them to grow and explore spiritually.
The Spiritual Sikh quiz, it's really just a little taste.
The taste of what's out there.
It's a door, you know?
It's a whole world.
A world of knowledge waiting to be discovered.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Western esotericism,
mm-hmm.
I want to leave you with one last question to think about.
Okay.
If you had to create your own symbol, an esoteric symbol,
mm-hmm.
what would it be?
Oh, that's a good one.
What would it represent?
Yeah, like what image or shape would capture your own personal philosophy?
Your deepest values.
Or even your hopes for the future.
Let that question kind of sit with you as you keep exploring these traditions.
It's a journey.
And remember, the journey never really ends.
There's always something new to discover.
Always new layers to uncover.
So keep searching. Keep asking those questions.
Keep that curiosity alive.
Let that inner flame burn bright.
Until next time, happy exploring.